So first and goal for Chicago. Bajan pulls it back. Now looking end zone for Kmet. Number two for the Bears tight end. His second touchdown of the day. And Chicago regains the lead.
Well, he's finding his security blanket, I think, Tiki. The guy he wants to go to in critical situations. And it's beautiful. I mean, this is delay by Kmet. He goes and blocks to start. And it's man-to-man coverage and just tosses him. And then finds an open space in the back. Good patience by Tyson Bajan. Very nice delay. Kind of slip route, whatever you want to call it, a little delay pop route to commit, and he's got a second of the day.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Taking your phone calls all the way up until 5 o'clock. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. You just heard Cole Kmet snagging his second touchdown of the day. Looking good out there, Coley. You know he catches them in bunches, so you know next week probably going to have more of the same, or Thursday, I should say, especially if Justin Fields is under center, and that'll be interesting to see if Justin Fields can make his way back. Interesting tweet from Jeremy Layton. He said, C.J. Stroud came out of college onto a team that won 14 games in the previous four seasons. Joe Burrow had one of the worst offensive lines in history. Trevor Lawrence had Urban Meyer. We need to stop acting like the Bears need to create a perfect quarterback haven before someone can succeed. I think that's great. Because, I mean, you're on either side right there when it comes to Justin Fields. You think that, you know, the Bears have doomed him with bad coaches and bad play calling? Or you just think Justin Fields is not that guy? Now, after seeing Bajan, some people are back on that the Fields train. I just want to see him play again. I forgot. I forgot what you could do, bro. Let me have you run out there on Thursday. Let me see what you could do against these Carolina Panthers. Make me a believer again. But would you rather have C.J. Stroud or D.J. Moore? That's an interesting question. C.J. Stroud's balling out right now. 470 yards, 5 tutties, and move the ball around. 4 receivers had over 5 targets. 2 of them had over 10. One of them was his tight end, Dalton Schultz. Had one of his best games of the season. Of course, when I'm playing against him in my fantasy league. Isn't that how it always happens? Tank Dell, 6 catches for 114. Nico Collins got himself a touchdown. 4 different receivers caught a touchdown pass. I mean, sheesh. And then did you see that Kyne Fairbairn got injured, the kicker for the Houston Texans? So their backup running back, Dario Boale, he ended up kicking a field goal for them. That was actually pretty funny. But C.J. Stroud, I mean, even if you just look at his last couple of games, and of course, I mean, yeah, we can always go back. And I'm just doing it because it's fun. Start the season, 242, 384, 280, 306, 249, 200. Then he had 140 last week. Maybe that's why he balled out for 470. C.J. Stroud has thrown one interception all year. One interception all year. That's pretty impressive. Lost 2 fumbles. But would you rather have a C.J. Stroud? He's dealing with an offense for the first time. He's dealing with a brand new coordinator. He's figuring out the game. But yet he's putting up 470 and 5 tutties. DJ Moore or CJ Stroud? 312-644-6767. We're taking calls. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. It was close at first. Bears came out firing. Nice little Cole Kmet touchdown thrown by Tyson Bajan, and it was a dime. Bears worked their way down the field, and there were moments. There were moments where, you know, Tyson Bajan did look good under center, especially the first drive. I mean, he had 2 passes back-to-back to Darnell Mooney and DJ Moore that were just gems. But then some plays, he had a 4th down conversion using his legs. It was a bootleg on the rollout. You know, it's just, again, moments. The thing I've pointed to, though, has been his... Like, the first couple of games that we saw Tyson Bajan, You knew what it was. Hey, man. 4 to 7 yards, he's going to be right in that window. He was averaging about 4 yards a pass. 4 yards an attempt, I should say, in his first couple of games. Minimized turnovers in game two. Realized what he did well and stuck to it. Then in games three and four, his yards per attempt go up. Why? Because everyone's yelling at him that he can't throw the ball down the field. And everyone's yelling at him saying he doesn't have enough arm strength. So he's trying a little something different. Stepping outside his comfort zone. What does that result in? 2 interceptions against the Chargers, 3 interceptions against the Saints. It's like you got to play within yourself sometimes. And the Bears, you know, they find themselves in a peculiar situation. What an interesting place to be for the Chicago Bears. An immense amount of uncertainty surrounding Justin Fields. And then you have no idea what you're doing at the quarterback position next year. You don't know if Carolina's going to win some games. If you're going to win some games, you don't know where you're going to end up in the draft. So in the present, you're trying to make your defense better because Ryan Poles has pledged time and time again, if my defense is better, then my quarterback is better. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez taking your thoughts on the Bears game. Of course, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank at itsnotagameillinois.com. Dustin Rhodes of the pregame show kicking off in just under an hour, 5 o'clock. Then Mully and Hall take over at 5:30. They got some good guests for you. Olin Krutz, DJ Moore at 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. If you're going to be up for the next couple of hours, you're definitely going to want to hear that. Bernstein and Holmes, they got Anthony Heron and Josh Rock at 11 and 12. And then if you go home and you go to sleep, make sure that Odyssey app is on your phone so when you wake up, you can just roll over and listen to either Kurt Warner at 2:40, Mark Grody at 4 o'clock, and then Jalen Johnson jumping on with the fellas at 5 to talk about the game that he had. But again, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. Let's go to Mac out in Inglewood. Mac, when you're looking at Justin Fields and your assessment of him, what do you feel like are some of his deficiencies?
I say he's a pretty good quarterback, but he needs some. You know, you all want to keep him in the pocket. The coaches want to keep him in the pocket, but he don't have pocket protection. You know, the offensive line, they can't block nobody. Then on the defensive side, they don't have no pass rusher. They should have won that game yesterday, but they just can't seem to pull it together. And Mac, it ain't all the quarterback's fault.
Mac, do you think that the Bears would have won if Justin Fields was playing quarterback yesterday?
I'm not saying that.
I'm asking you. I'm blaming everything on Fields. Yeah, no,
I'm not saying that.
Mac, listen to me. I think they would have won if Justin Fields was playing yesterday. I think he would have won that game. As many opportunities as the defense gave him, I think he would have won.
What I'm saying, give him some protection, whoever the quarterback is. They need some quarterback protection. You know, just think about the days, the Chiefs quarterback. He got protection. It ain't because he's so great, but he got protection that make him great. Do that make sense?
I hear you, Mac. And I mean, listen, everybody wants a good offensive line. It's kind of like relief pitching in baseball. Everybody could use some more relievers, and everybody could use better offensive linemen, right? Let's not forget, an offensive lineman is a very difficult job. You are literally blocking modern-day gladiators that are trying to rip your quarterback's head off. And you have to do it literally back-to-back instances. It's a tough job, and you're not going to have 100% success rate. Hence all the penalties the Bears had on offense. So it's hard, but I think the Bears have tried to do their best to put a better offensive line around Justin Fields. They used their 10th pick in the draft on Darnell Wright. They, try to have some continuity on the left side with their, you know, young rookie fifth round pick that they had. They tried to bring in Nate Davis. They tried their best. Tevin Jenkins on the right, the left side as well, to shore that up. So they tried. They're trying to. And I think Olin Kreutz touched on it. Patrick Manley touched on it in the post game. The offensive line did a pretty decent job yesterday. I can only think, like, if I quickly think back, there might have been only like two or three instances where I felt like the pocket actually collapsed on Tyson Bagent completely. Okay, four or five times. But throughout the course of a game, that's bound to happen. But I hear what you're saying, Mac. Give him some time, see what he could do. Well, we did see what he could do with time. That was at Ohio State. But unfortunately, this is the NFL, where you don't get that much time. You are paid to release the ball quickly. That's why Bagent looked so tantalizing, because he did, until he started realizing if you want to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, you do got to put the ball down the field. And that's where the mistakes happen. And Justin Fields is not, you know, free of error there. He's definitely thrown his fair share of interceptions. He's lost the ball for holding it on too long, got himself injured for holding on to the ball too long. But, I mean, again, it's not. You talked about Patrick Mahomes, Mac. You're talking about one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and that leads me back to my consistent argument, which is, you know, you can say your offensive line's great when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You can say your coach is great when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You can say your receivers are amazing. You're running, everybody's good if your quarterback's good. But you got to have a top-tier quarterback. He can't be 15th. He has to be top 10. And that's where I feel like with Justin Fields, you know, I see a lot of people texting in like, oh, he got eight games left. So, I mean, you know, yeah, we're going to see what he has to do. But, you know, text messages coming in here. This one from the 408. Bears in the right direction? Nope. Not as long as Poles is substitute GM. Get rest, Gabe. You're right, I do need some rest. But you need to have a Bears Unleashed remote show out and about so you can intro me to this. Oh, no. Not at all, sir. But why is everybody so down on Poles? He hasn't drafted a quarterback yet. Got himself a right tackle of the future. Got two defensive tackles to try to help out with the rotation. Signed Montez Sweat. Drafted Jaquan Brisker. Kyler Gordon, I wish he'd make more of an impact this year. He had a lot of deflections last year. This year, not so much. Maybe he's bummed that he's playing the slot. Tyreek Stevenson seems like he's good. I like Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards as upgrades at the linebacker position. He got DJ Moore, stole him from the Carolina Panthers, got their another number one pick. I feel like he's done good things. We talk as if, you know, he's just like a schmuck because of the Claypool trade. Like, we could point to that. Like, yeah, that's one thing, but he still did a lot of other things that are pretty good. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to talk about because, again, I think the weird place that we are in as Bears fans is that there's still so much more assessment to take place from the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the GM, the quarterback. It's a lot left to be done, but more questions to be asked. And that is a question that I have for you, because I do think the Bears are headed in the right direction, despite the loss yesterday. I do think the defense is playing better than it has over the last couple of weeks. It's just been getting better and better every week. The offense seems to look like it has some. It's not my favorite, right? But put Justin Fields in there, and then we're a pretty mediocre team, which is an upgrade from where we were last year. And then it's up from there, I would assume, right? 312-644-6767. Do you think the Bears are headed in the right direction, or do you disagree with that statement? We're going to take your calls after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score, brought to you by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Great day planned for you, all my scoreheads out there. Dustin Rhodes are going to be doing the pregame show at 5 o'clock, and just about 40 minutes from right now. And then Mully and Haw, the usual suspects, Olin Kreutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, and a nice little addition, Dan Weeder at 8:40. That you can listen to on the Mully and Haw show. Bernstein and Holmes, they got Anthony Herron at 11, Josh Schrock at 12. Then Parkins and Spiegel. Kurt Warner joins the guys at 2:40, followed by Mark Grody at 4. And then Jalen Johnson, the closer. 5 o'clock, he hangs out with Parkins and Spiegel. That's my. I listen to that while I'm picking up my daughters. So I pick up my wife at 4:30. And then we go pick up the girls, and that happens at 5. And then I give them my phones so they can watch whatever they're watching on the phones. And then I listen to Jalen Johnson. Articulate young man, standout football player. Hope he gets paid by the Chicago Bears, by the way. But that Bears defense was something else yesterday. If you're looking at, you know, total stats, Derek Carr only had 211 yards. He was averaging 250. Threw for 3 tutties, but man, 74% completion percentage. He had some bad throws, but he was getting the ball out quickly. Taysom Hill oddly led the Saints in rushing with 52 yards. Alvin Kamara, 26. Chris Olave got off, had himself a tutty, 6 catches, 46 yards. So, it like when you're looking at those stats, right? No receiver with over 50 yards. Taysom Hill barely getting over 50 on the ground, and that's better than Alvin Kamara, who most people thought was going to have himself a day. The Bears defense really did step up. Only 2 pass deflections on the day. One from T.J. Edwards and one from Montez Sweat. I thought I was going to say somebody else, huh?
I was waiting for another DB.
Yeah, that's what you think. Montez Sweat getting his hand up there. He had 2 tackles on the day, 2 solo tackles. Justin Jones was in the mix. You saw a little Jalen Jones getting busy once Tyreek Stevenson went down. Jack Sanborn, we were talking about him a lot earlier. 7 solo tackles, 9 total on the day. Zach Pickens got himself in the stat sheet, as did Noah Sewell. Daron Harmon. His name ring a bell? No, it doesn't.
I feel like I've heard of him.
Okay.
Maybe.
Daron Harmon's one of those guys that you see him playing on the team, you just don't know who he is. Safety, he plays safety for the Bears, though. He got himself in the mix, too. So Bears defense did a good job. And like I said, that's what makes me think the Bears are headed in the right direction. Figuring out the defense. Right? You can plug and play a quarterback. You see the Jets did it. You see a lot of teams with good defenses. You see the Vikings just pulled off a victory, you know, with Josh Dobbs on their center. If your defense can be all right, your offense, you know, is going to be able to put up some points eventually. And that's what the Bears, I feel like it was bad. Listen, Bears were usually good defense, bad offense. The last couple years where it was bad offense and bad defense, I didn't know how to operate. I couldn't process this. So the fact that the Bears are getting closer to normal on defense makes me feel a lot better. And Coach Eberflus talked about the defense, talked about Tyson Bagent, talked about the addition of Montez Sweat. In the post game, when addressing the media, here he is right now. Try to see if you could find a few takeaways. I have mine. I'll tell you right after this.
Okay, good evening. Just an update on Kari Blassie game. He's in concussion protocol, so we'll see where that goes for this week. But obviously, it's going to be tough to get back there for him. We just hope he's okay and hope he's doing fine with that. Overall for the game, I thought we took the ball, decided to take the ball with the coin toss there, and guys did a really good job of taking the ball down the field. I thought that was the first 15 was really good, and obviously we scored a touchdown there. That was excellent. Got a four and out on defense, you know, and then we had that one interception from there. And really in the first half, I thought, our offense did a good job operating. We got some good yards in there from a bunch of different ways. Running the football was a big goal for us today, and I thought we accomplished that goal. Stopping the run was also a big goal for us, and I thought we did that as well. When you look at the, the third downs in the first half for the defense, it wasn't good, right? We were 5 of 6. Didn't do a good enough job on that, but we came back in the second half and they ended up, 7 of 14, but we did a good job with that, adjusting, and the players did a good job of executing to give ourselves a chance to win in that situation there. Really the story of the day, right, is just the takeaways. It's hard to win. The league's pretty even, in most spots, and it's hard to win when you have -5. And again, that's a whole team thing, right? It's us protecting it, us protecting the quarterback, us getting on defense, and us doing a better job there, taking the ball away on D. So again, that's really where the story was. Again, I love the fight of the guys at the end there. Defense gave us a chance at the very end with those stops that we had and with the missed field goal that they had. But with that, open up to questions.
Matt, Tyson Bajan's day, it looked like things were going very well for him through three quarters, and then a lot of problems at the end, turnovers, not a lot of completions. What happened to him in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, just, I'm going to have to look at it. And what I saw out there was, they play man coverage, right? That's what they do. They're tight coverage there. And we were throwing it into tight windows. And we got to do a good job with our decision making and accuracy. And that's where it is. And again, I'll look at the tape to see exactly what they were doing. Again, that's the first number one job of a quarterback is to protect the ball.
Did you feel like you guys were getting a lot of opportunities at the end to win?
We made stops. We made stops on downs on defense. We had time. We still had time. We still had time, and the guys were fighting and battling. And because of that, we made it a game at the end. And so I really believe that we had a chance at the end there.
What was the biggest difference with the defense in the second half? They gave a couple touchdowns in the first half, no touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah, it's just the third downs. Yeah. The reason they kept those drives, we were playing the run great. We were tackling good. We were doing all those things well. And, during that first half, the only thing that they had on the plus side was the third downs. Like I said, 5 of 6, and I believe 2 of them were in the red zone. That's where we need to get corrected, and we made the adjustment, and they did a nice job.
Matt, are you guys optimistic about Justin after seeing him throw Friday?
Yeah, he's day-to-day. We'll find out more tomorrow, and we'll see where it is because, he started throwing, which is a positive, and we'll see where it is in terms of his functionality.
Are you hoping that he could be back Thursday?
We'll see where it is. We'll see.
How was the week at large? How do you think you and the team handled that? There was a lot going on. You had trades. You had...
Yep.
Trade demand that didn't happen with Jalen. You had Jalen Walker.
Saturday. Yeah, I would say really good. Obviously, if we would have won the game, it would have been great. It's not great because we lost. But our guys hung together. They always do. They practice well. They came out ready to play today. And again, if we get the ball right, we would be right today. So that's where it is. But guys were physical. They finished every play, and they played our style, which is the style we want to play.
Tyreek Stevenson left with an injury. What's the latest on
him? Yeah, we'll see where he is. I know it was a lower leg injury. We'll see where he is tomorrow.
What was the key to the running game? Doing well early in the game, especially the first half, and then there were the adjustments that they made because it didn't seem like there was many big holes in the door earlier.
Again, they shift the front a little bit here and there, to overload that one side that we were running to the whole time. And that's, again, my hat's off to them. They made the adjustment, and it wasn't as effective as it was. But I thought we did a really good job overall during the course of the day of running the football.
They don't talk much about Bajan's ability to run with the ball, but it seemed like he really took advantage of things out there to get 70-yard rush.
Yeah, he had some really nice plays, and it wasn't just the QB scrambles. There was a disconnect from the runner a couple times, where he kept the ball on those. And that was cool to see him on the edge there. And, it was also the keepers. He had some waggles and boots where he got on the edge and had a chance to see the run-pass option. And he did a good job with that.
What was the plan for Sweat today?
Yeah, just play him on the third downs, play him in the two-minute. And again, my hat's off to the defense. Really did a really nice job at the end of half, two-minute, during that situation. They still had some time. They still had some timeouts, and our guys did a really good job with that. But for the most part, play them third down 2 minute, then we're going to roll them in first and second down. So it was a good plan.
How did he look to
you? He looked good. I thought he had a couple good pressures there. He's getting his feet wet, different style of defense, a little bit different terminology, So for him to come in here and play that many plays, it was cool.
What was the significance for you guys to get that deal done yesterday, to get it done, not exactly right away, but before you even played a game, now it's finished?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely important. Ryan and his staff did an awesome job working through that and getting that done in a timely fashion. And we're all excited. When you add a pass rusher, to your defense and to our franchise, that's a big deal for us going into the future.
You and Ryan both talked this week about how you felt you were closer than people thought. In what ways are you, and what ways aren't you?
Well, I mean, this would be evidence that we are very close, because, being -5, in the turnover margin and keeping it that close, the ability for us to show our style. Our style is to run the football, stop the run, be physical, and we just got to get the ball right.
What do you make of Tyson's experience here now? If Justin's back next week, this is it for Tyson for now. Three starts, some ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of his operation, okay, and knowing, the offense and operating the huddle, in and out of the huddle, for a guy to come in there, as a rookie like that, was pretty impressive when you think about it, I think he's had really good moments in that, the starts that he's had, and again, he's going to build off of that. He's got to learn. The most important thing Tyson can do now, because the performance is over, is to learn from his performance and to get better. And to partner up with the coaches, with the offensive coordinator, with myself, and look at those plays where he needs to improve, and also look at the good plays. There is a lot of good plays out there that he had, in the first half, third quarter, today. And he's got to build off of both those things.
You guys, I think they won your half of the game for every play in the fourth quarter. Have you ever seen that before? And number two, the game seemed to kind of grind to a halt there at the end, with both defenses playing pretty well. Did you think you had a chance at the end
Yeah, we always do think we have a chance. We just got needed one takeaway on defense to give ourselves a short field and put ourselves in scoring position, or a punt return or a kick return, whatever that might be, to really flip the field. Because of the turnovers, they were playing on the midfield most of the day, and that happens sometimes. And that's called sudden change, and our defense did a great job of rising up to the occasion. On most of those occasions, during the course of the day, getting a three and out, making them punt, stopping them on downs and doing that. And this gives our team a chance.
What do you make of the offensive line penalties today? I think everybody but Tevin had a false start or a hold.
Yeah, you go back and look at those. Obviously the false starts are the false starts. We got to clean those up, but the holdings, you got to look at them. Sometimes that happens when you extend plays on the perimeter. And you're extending plays as a quarterback, that happens sometimes. But again, I'll go look at them. I'll look and evaluate all those penalties and see what we think.
Can you get an explanation on the Bayless flag? The face mask?
Yeah, it was a face mask. He grabbed it. It was a face mask.
When you have penalties, kind of a really opportunity time like that, is that a learning lesson, or?
Yeah, you just can't do that. We're pro football players and coaches. We know that you can't grab the face mask. We got to be better than that.
From the Tyson Bajan scramble in the first half, that they marked it short and then you challenged and then won the challenge. Talk about the operation. How did you decide to do that?
Yeah, so upstairs, Harry's upstairs, and we're always looking at it. And I thought that it was spotted short to begin with. So we looked at it on replay, and then we had enough time. And again, it was early, so we just threw it. And we had a good look at it, and it was overturned. It was good by the league.
You guys have your quarterback depth chart the way it is for a reason. Justin's your starter for a reason ahead of Tyson. What does Justin bring to you guys when he comes back that you don't have right now?
I would just say the experience factor. Him playing all those games, certainly the experience factor. And, he's operated in this offense, and he's had some good weeks, prior to this, the Washington game. He's had some good games this year. So we're excited to get him back when he comes back. And certainly the dimension of also the disconnection running the ball. He likes, he can obviously run the ball, and the quarterback runs are viable there too. And the perimeter is getting under attack more. So that's what he brings.
It's Coach Eberflus talking about Justin Fields there and his performance at the very, or excuse me, and his assessment of him at the very end when they asked, you know, what are you getting from, what will you get from Justin Fields that you're not getting currently? Running the ball, experience. Had a lot more to say about the performance of Tyson Bagent and just giving him freedom to make his mistakes, right? Hey, best thing you could do is learn from what you saw there. Go back, check out the tape. Tyson Bagent today, 18 for 30, 220 yards, two touchdowns, had three interceptions. And what I said about Tyson Bagent was, I mean, it's a cute experiment, right? Because you always want to see what else you have there. You did. And you held on to that inkling of a hope that maybe, just maybe, you found that diamond in the rough. And for the first time, just like the first pick in the draft, you feel like, oh, it's going to happen to the Bears. Not quite. But one thing I did notice, a trend from Tyson Bagent, was, I mean, his first game against Minnesota, he comes in, he's 10 for 14, 71% completion percentage, you know, has that interception late in the game, put his team in a position to win. Then game two, and in that game, the most important takeaway was that he was averaging about 5 yards an attempt. Game two, 21 for 29. 72% completion percentage again. One touchdown, no interceptions, averaging about 5 yards an attempt. Then game three comes, right? He gets his win, and what are the knocks on him? Okay, you can't throw the long ball. You have no arm strength. So he tries a little bit more against the Chargers. Completion percentage goes down a little bit. Yards per attempt go up. But then he throws two interceptions. And then yesterday against the Saints, the completion percentage goes down even more, down to 60%. Still in the 220 range, but now his yards per attempt goes up to 7. So what was once 5, an efficient 70% completion percentage for a Tyson Bagent, a turnover-free game where he was playing within himself. You know, sometimes you try a little bit more. You try to get out of your comfort zone. You try to prove a little bit too much. And as a result, you know, you end up hurting your team a little bit more than you probably would have liked. Three interceptions, one fumble for a loss. Just overall, you know, I'd say, well, what would the letter grade be for Tyson Bagent? Tyler Farringall, he's my producer today, holding it down. He had some high praise for Tyson Bagent when he was performing well. Can't not pay attention to the mistakes, but when you put them together, Tyler, what grade do you give Tyson Bagent yesterday?
Mr. Farringall's going to be very honest, and I'm going to give him a C-, because seriously, Gabe, you're 100% right. I mean, throw away everything that I said earlier. Might have been a little dumb by me, but those mistakes cost the Bears the game,
yeah.
Right? And I mean, those stat sheets show in the first half that they were out playing New Orleans, right? And his turnovers were the big difference maker in the game.
When Tyler first came in today, and I felt bad breaking his heart, he just kept on saying, Gabe, Tyson Bagent had a good game. If you just take out the turnovers. And I was like, I have to disagree with you. I was like, it's a bad game overall. So I think C- is fair.
Well, what's,
you might
what's
even
your
go
grade?
To the D. Like, you might even, I think you just go D.
Okay. I'm glad yours is a little bit lower than mine, because you obviously were a little
turnovers,
more realistic.
Four turnovers. You're responsible. You yourself are responsible for four turnovers. And it's not like, you know, the ball got hit in the air or tipped or something like that. Like, you threw three bad passes that got intercepted.
Gabe, I knew right away when I was talking to you, I knew deep down inside, I'm like, oh, crap. This is not one of Baby T's finer moments.
Yeah, yeah. Baby T. No. You weren't banging your hat, so you didn't have any credibility there. But the good thing is this. Tyson Bagent experiment, I mean, he's going to continue to grow. This we know. You expect him to be a better quarterback just from sheer repetition, right? But you know that Justin Fields is coming back, and we get to see Justin Fields has had a couple of instances like this where he's, you know, gotten injured, had to watch another quarterback step in, and people kind of, you know, try to elevate that quarterback to a level that
is beyond Justin Fields, but ultimately we end up coming back to Justin Fields. And here we are again. Last eight games of the season, getting to see Justin Fields. And like I said, he's 24 years old. If a 24-year-old takes off a month and a half or whatever it is, there's still growth there for him. Whether it's intelligence, whether it's, you know, physical strength, getting that hand right back together again, it's going to be interesting to see what that is. But people are up in the air. What do you think about Tyson Bagent's performance? What do you think about Justin Fields returning? Are you excited? Are you ready for that? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Steve out in Wakanda. Steve, what did you think of Tyson Bagent's performance yesterday?
Well, first of all, like you're talking to your producer earlier, I got a buddy I used to golf with, and he said if I didn't hit two out of bounds, three in the water, I would have shot a 67.
So, right, exactly.
I just think that he's finding out just what it takes to be a pro. As you mentioned earlier, now his yards per pass are getting longer, and he's got a good arm. He's got a good arm. I got to give it to him. I'm you know, but that the NFL window is like throwing a football in a 5-gallon bucket at 30 yards. It's like he just does not see those receivers. And they knew what was going on because they were jumping those routes. I mean, they were just slipping right inside and intercepting that ball.
Yeah. And, Steve, let me ask you this. Because I thought that, yeah. You know, I thought that too. I mean, obviously he had a tough day. You know, Saints defense, one of the top in the league. Do you think the outcome would have been different if Justin Fields would have been under center?
Boy, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I don't know if he would have made those throws. That throw needed to be made a split second sooner, and it might have been a different outcome. But I'm just not sure on either of these guys. I want the defense to be good. With a mediocre offense, you could still have a team, and the Bears showed that in 85. You know?
That's what I've been preaching all night long. That all you need is a middle-of-the-road defense, and that can get you far in this league. But, yeah, the fact of the matter is that Bagent and Fields, what it seems like is that they're just not the answer for the future, and that Bears are more than likely going to be moving on. But, like I said, I still think that Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback next year. But we've also seen that Ryan Poles is not afraid to make a trade in the middle of the season. And that might be where Justin Fields leaves the Chicago Bears. But taking your phone call still, 312-644-6767. I gave Tyson Bagent a D. Baby T gave him a C-. What do you give Tyson Bagent? And what are your thoughts about Justin Fields returning? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. A full slate for you right here on Monday. No need to go anywhere else. You want current players, the best current players, we got them. You want former players giving you the best analysis, we got them. Dustin Rhodes kicking things off in 15 minutes with the pregame show. And then Mully and Haw, they got Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Dan Weider at 8:40. Then Bernstein and Holmes got Anthony Heron and Josh Rock at 11 and 12, respectively. Then Parkins and Spiegel, they round out the whole thing. 2:40 p.m., they got Kurt Warner. Jump on to talk about Tyson Bagent and the potential return of Justin Fields. Mark Grody jumps on at 4, and then Jalen Johnson hangs out with the fellas at 5 o'clock, so make sure you're here for all of that on 670 The Score. And you can also download the app. Take us with you everywhere you go. Let's go to the phone lines. Take a couple more before we get out of here. Let's go to George out in Chicago. George, what did you think of Tyson Bagent's performance? I gave it a D, a solid D.
I did a C. I mean, it's nothing new that we don't see from Chicago quarterbacks. You know, this kid early in the third, fourth game in, you know, he's going to make some mistakes. But, I mean, other than that, the turnovers, I mean, he pretty much ran the offense pretty well, got some points on the board. And, you know, just Chicago seeing, you know, once it's crunch time, you know, we always seem to have the quarterback to, you know, make them face, end up giving us a W. But,
that's a good point, George, that you're bringing up. The fact that, you know, it seems consistent that we can't find a Bears quarterback that's clutch, you know, that can come in and get the job done in those instances. I hear what you're saying. I wish Lugetti would have made it, and Patrick Manley talked about this too in the postgame. I wish Lugetti would have made it a little bit easier on Tyson Bagent in those last couple of drives. I mean, because, you know, if you go back to this, even just like after they scored the touchdown, right? So it's 24-17 Saints at that moment. Bears get the ball back. You know, first play, pass. Second play, pass. Right, two straight passes, one leading to the interception, obviously. But you're not helping your undrafted rookie QB try to lead his team down to a game for a game tying touchdown in that moment. Then your defense does a great job, George. In that moment, Bears get the ball back again. Right, that's where the second interception came. You get Dante Foreman with the first little rush out the way, and then they're like, "That's it, we're done." Tyson Bagent pass. It's like,
and see, with this kid, when they keep it simple, that's when he's more accurate and more consistent. You know, it seems when they try to give him a little bit more.
Third and four, George. That's the key. Third and four, right there, is getting him in that window. Getting him in third and four, third and five. He completes those effortlessly, it seems like. But unfortunately, anything deeper than that, even though he did have some success, that throw to Cole Kmet, you cannot take anything away from him on that throw. An absolute dime. Beautiful ball, everything. But we all get to assess what we thought of Tyson Bagent's performance. Mark, out in Richmond, what did you think of Tyson Bagent's performance yesterday? Potentially his last.
I thought it was actually pretty good. It's the coaching staff that didn't help him out. I give the coaching staff a total F. When they first started coming out in the first quarter, they were throwing down ball down the field really well. He was committing his passes, and then as the game progressed, and when they started to fall behind, they put that man in situations and made him try to throw the ball where an acrobat couldn't even get it to him, and he should have never been in those positions. We couldn't run the ball, but then he was looking for his checkdowns. He was scanning the field good. I don't know if it was our guys not getting open or if it was just the wrong play calling. That's all on the coaching staff. They didn't help him at all. I that's what I believe.
Mark, let me ask you this, because I'm curious what your thoughts are when it comes to Justin Fields and how he's being coached. Do you feel like Justin Fields like is a star quarterback, but he's just been coached improperly?
Yes. I think he's been through too many coaches, too many. He's got to learn a system every year when he's here. And then last year, he didn't have an offensive line. He even told everybody he didn't want to run. He had to run to save his life last year. This year, he was actually sitting him back into the pocket. He's actually waiting for his guys to open. When they give him a running game, he's connecting with his passes. The defense has been letting us down with him. And I want to know if the rumors are true, if he might be going to Minnesota.
That's my question. I got you. Thanks for the call, Mark. That's an interesting rumor you got there. I will backtrack on that and to everything you were saying. One, the defense, they've been playing well as of late, actually. So, and as I mentioned before, prior to this game, Bears were third in the league in rushing yards allowed per game at 78. That's pretty impressive, all right? I mean, even that number is impressive, 78. So defense has been playing well. You're right, Justin Fields was sitting in the pocket more, waiting for plays to develop, but he didn't do particularly well at that. That wasn't a strength in his game. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily on board with what you're saying, Mark, but, I mean, we can agree that maybe the coaching at some points isn't necessarily the best or best suited for a particular quarterback to be winning in a scheme like that. And the Bears get the opportunity. Again, the best thing is this. We actually get to watch 8 more games of football. We got a bye week in there, so there's still 9 weeks of NFL left, regular season that is. And listen, You spend 6 months complaining about football not being here. It's kind of like Chicago weather, you know? You want the summer, and summer gets here, and then you're complaining that it's too hot. Then the winter gets here, and then you complain that it's too cold. Just got to enjoy it in the moment. So Bears got some more games to play. We know we have a good grasp of who this team is. You can tell by the way Coach Eberflus speaks. He knows exactly what this team is, where they're at. It's almost as if both he and Ryan Poles have had these kinds of conversations privately. Like, we know what this is. And that's why when you hear Ryan Poles mention that he sees Coach Eberflus, you know, week in and week out, get these men ready to play at a high level. And that's another thing you got to point out. If you are an Eberflus hater, he was having these guys play, you know, giving their hearts, you would say, last year when they were in the middle of a 10-game losing streak. Like, he still had these grown men playing hard and getting up for the game and having them believe that, you know, they were on the path towards success. And that's not an easy task when you're losing a bunch of games in a row. That I will tell you. All right. Like I told you, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score. Big day today. Dustin Rhodes starting in just 7 minutes, the pregame show, and then Holden Krutch, DJ Moore, jumping on with the fellas at 7 and 8 o'clock, respectively. And then Dan Weeder hanging out before they go at 8:40. Bernstein and Holmes, they got Anthony Heron and Josh Schrock at 11 and 12. And then Parkins and Spiegel, they got Kurt Warner at 2:40. Mark Grody at 4, and then Jalen Johnson at 5. All right, I wasn't the only person here 5 hours long, 5 hours strong. It was also my producer, Tyler Farringall. Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. But he got to bang his hat to the side.
How old is Baby T? You look young, by the way.
22.
Oh, wow.
You know you're young when you give your age freely. Tyler Farringall, appreciate you, man. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And I say it like that, too. I'm working. 670 The Score.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. A full slate for you. Right here on Monday. No need to go anywhere else. You want current players? The best current players? We got them. You want former players giving you the best analysis? We got them. Dustin Rhodes kicking things off in 15 minutes with the pregame show. And then Mully and Hall. They got Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Dan Weeder at 8:40. Then Bernstein and Holmes got Anthony Heron and Josh Schrock at 11 and 12, respectively. Then Parkins and Spiegel. They round out the whole thing. 2:40 p.m., they got Kurt Warner jump on to talk about Tyson Bagent and the potential return of Justin Fields. Mark Grody jumps on at 4, and then Jalen Johnson hangs out with the fellas at 5 o'clock, so make sure you're here for all of that on 670 The Score. And you can also download the app. Take us with you everywhere you go. Let's go to the phone lines. Take a couple more before we get out of here. Let's go to George out in Chicago. George, what did you think of Tyson Bagent's performance? I gave it a D, a solid D.
I get a C. I mean, it's nothing new that we don't see from Chicago quarterbacks. You know, this kid's early in the third, fourth game in, you know, he's going to make some mistakes. But, I mean, other than that, the turnovers, I mean, he pretty much ran the offense pretty well, got some points on the board. And, you know, just Chicago, seeing, you know, once it's crunch time, you know, we always seem to have the quarterbacks. You know, make them base end up giving us a W.
That's a good point, George, that you're bringing up. The fact that, you know, it seems consistent that we can't find a Bears quarterback that's clutch, you know, that can come in and get the job done in those instances. I hear what you're saying. I wish Luke Getsy would have made it, and Patrick Manley talked about this too in the postgame. I wish Luke Getsy would have made it a little bit easier on Tyson Bagent in those last couple of drives. I mean, because, you know, if you go back to this, even just like after they scored the touchdown, right? So it's 24-17 Saints at that moment. Bears get the ball back. You know, first play, pass. Second play, pass, right? Two straight passes, one leading to the interception, obviously. But you're not helping your undrafted rookie QB try to lead his team down to a game for a game tying touchdown in that moment. Then your defense does a great job, George, in that moment. Bears get the ball back again, right? That's where the second interception came. You get Dante Foreman with the first little rush out the way, and then they're like, "That's it, we're done." Tyson Bagent pass. It's like,
and see with the two, when they keep it simple, that's when he's more accurate and more consistent. You know, it seems when they try to give him a little bit more.
Third and four, George. That's the key. Third and four, right there, is getting him in that window. Getting him in third and four, third and five. He completes those effortlessly, it seems like. But unfortunately, anything deeper than that, even though he did have some success, that throw to Cole Kmet, you cannot take anything away from him on that throw. An absolute dime. Beautiful ball, everything. But we all get to assess what we thought of Tyson Bagent's performance. Mark, out in Richmond, what did you think of Tyson Bagent's performance yesterday? Potentially his last.
I thought it was actually pretty good. It's the coaching staff that didn't help him out. I give the coaching staff a total F. When they first started coming out in the first quarter, they were throwing down ball down the field really well. He was committing his passes. And then as the game progressed and when they started to fall behind, they put that man in situations and made him try to throw the ball where an acrobat couldn't even get it to him, and he should have never been in those positions. We couldn't run the ball, but then he was looking for his checkdowns. He was scanning the field good. I don't know if it was our guys not getting open or if it was just a wrong play calling. That's all on the coaching staff. They didn't help him at all. I that's what I believe.
Mark, let me ask you this, because I'm curious what your thoughts are when it comes to Justin Fields and how he's being coached. Do you feel like Justin Fields like is a star quarterback, but he's just been coached improperly?
Yes. I think he's been through too many coaches, too many he's gotta learn a system every year when he's here. And then last year he didn't have an offensive line. He even told everybody he didn't want to run. He had to run to save his life last year. This year he was actually sitting him back into the pocket. He's actually waiting for his guys to open. When they give him a running game, he's connecting with his passes. The defense has been letting us down with him. And I want to know if the rumors are true, if he might be going to Minnesota.
That's my question. I got you. Thanks for the call, Mark. That's an interesting rumor you got there. I will backtrack on that and to everything you were saying. One, the defense, they've been playing well as of late, actually. So, and as I mentioned before, prior to this game, Bears were third in the league in rushing yards allowed per game at 78. That's pretty impressive, all right? I mean, even that number is impressive, 78. So the defense has been playing well. You're right, Justin Fields was sitting in the pocket more, waiting for plays to develop, but he didn't do particularly well at that. That wasn't a strength in his game. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily on board with what you're saying, Mark, but, I mean, we can agree that maybe the coaching at some points isn't necessarily the best or best suited for a particular quarterback to be winning in a scheme like that. And the Bears get the opportunity. Again, like, the best thing is this. We actually get to watch 8 more games of football. We got a bye week in there, so there's still 9 weeks of NFL left, regular season that is. And listen, you spend 6 months complaining about football not being here. It's kind of like Chicago weather, you know? You want the summer, and summer gets here, and then you're complaining that it's too hot. Then the winter gets here, and then you're complaining that it's too cold. Just you got to enjoy it in the moment. So Bears got some more games to play. We know we have a good grasp of who this team is. You can tell by the way Coach Eberflus speaks. He knows exactly what this team is, where they're at. It's almost as if both he and Ryan Poles have had these kinds of conversations privately. Like, we know what this is. And that's why when you hear Ryan Poles mention that he sees Coach Eberflus, you know, week in and week out, get these men ready to play at a high level. And that's another thing you got to point out. If you are an Eberflus hater, he was having these guys play, you know, giving their hearts, you would say, last year when they were in the middle of a 10-game losing streak. Like, he still had these grown men playing hard and getting up for the game and having them believe that, you know, they were on the path towards success. And that's not an easy task when you're losing a bunch of games in a row. That I will tell you. All right. Like I told you, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score. Big day today. Dustin Rhodes starting in just 7 minutes, the pregame show. And then Olin Kruch, DJ Moore jumping on with the fellas at 7 and 8 o'clock respectively. And then Dan Weider hanging out before they go at 8:40. Bernstein and Holmes, they got Anthony Heron and Josh Schrock at 11 and 12. And then Parkins and Spiegel, they got Kurt Warner at 2:40. Mark Grody at 4, and then Jalen Johnson at 5. All right, I wasn't the only person here 5 hours long, 5 hours strong. It was also my producer, Tyler Farringall. Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. But he got to bang his hat to the side.
How old is Baby T? You look young, by the way.
22.
Oh, wow.
You know you're young when you give your age freely. Tyler Farringall, appreciate you, man. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I say it like that, too. I'm working.